Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
9 o'clock on a Thursday night. Joe Giglio with you. Sports Radio 94 WIP. It is Clearwater. Checking here as we check down with Matt Breen of the Inquirer down in Clearwater today. Matt Klentak spoke for the first time, kind of a state of the Phillies address. A lot of interesting things there. We'll talk to Matt about that and some updates on some players early on. Matt, how you doing tonight?
I'm good, Joe. How you doing?
Doing well and excited for baseball to be back. And I was listening this morning as Matt Klentak took the, behind a table and talked to you guys for about 40 minutes or so. And there were a lot of interesting things. The one thing, among the things that jumped out to me, Matt, I was a little surprised at how Klentak did not shy away from the question about pursuing Chris Bryant. And he even kind of said, look, I can't say his name, but you can. And answered, I thought, pretty forthcoming. Now, I don't know if any of this means they're going to get Chris Bryant, but I just thought the whole thing was interesting that, you know, he didn't give a candid, look, we like our team. We're always trying to get good players. Like, he acknowledged the question was specifically about Chris Bryant and was willing to talk about that idea.
Yeah, it reminded me almost of the way they treated questions last spring about Machado and Harper that Matt Klentak's not going to say those two guys' names, just like he didn't say Chris Bryant's name today, but he acknowledges that you're talking about a superstar player and that the Phillies are always going to check in on, you know, said superstar player. And my opinion did not change today that they're going to get Chris Bryant. I still don't expect the Phillies to get Chris Bryant because of, you know, reasons we've talked about before. They have how close they are to the competitive balance tax and the amount of prospects that it's going to take. But my opinion still did not change. But John Middleton was at camp today, and it got me thinking that because if anyone's going to make the decision to go get Chris Bryant, it's going to be John Middleton. It's going to allow that to happen. He's going to push. He's going to be the catalyst for that move. And just had me thinking, this is a guy that is as competitive as any owner in baseball, wants to win. Here he is at his camp. He's itching for baseball season, just like, you know, the rest of this, you know, Phillies fan base is. Because at his heart, he's a Phillies fan. And I'm thinking, is he changing his mind? Maybe it's easy to say in November and December, when the season feels like it's a year away, that you're not going to pay the tax. But now when you're in spring training and you're looking at your team and you're sizing up the landscape, maybe if I could get in his head for a second, maybe I'm thinking that he's saying, let's do it. But if I had to make a call right now, I'd say it doesn't happen. But I just had that thought when I saw him at the backfield today.
Yeah, I would, if I were to make the same kind of guess on whether or not they would land him, I would say no. Matt, the other thing it reminds me of, now the money's different, obviously, it's not the same kind of thing, but there is something similar to Real Muto last year where the Phillies check in on things and it felt like there were other favorites. Last year, I guess it was the Dodgers, maybe the Reds at one point, maybe the Astros before Real Muto. And then we got into spring training. No one had traded for him from the Marlins. And then all of a sudden the Phillies just got him. And I'm not saying I'd give it a 50% chance, but I'd say maybe 10 or whatever, that the same kind of thing happens here. If the Cubs are really motivated to move Chris Bryant, there's a chance, like, we wake up one day or you hear one morning, the Phillies are actually making a real push here. It reminds me of that a little bit where you have the star player and we're in a weird point where the team probably wants to move on, but the season's going to start here soon.
No doubt. I agree. And I think 10% is fair. It's still a sizable number, but it's obviously not a big number. And it is, I think, like, the longer that Chris Bryant goes untraded, the better it can play in the Phillies' hand. Because they don't have the headline package really to give up. You know, they can't really afford to give up Alec Boehm and Spencer Howard, which I would guess it would be the asking price for a player like Chris Bryant. So the longer that he goes untraded, the Cubs, like you said, are going to be motivated to move him before the season starts. So that could play into the Phillies' hand, and that's where I would think that 10% is a fair number to give it.
Matt, I heard the question you asked, and I heard Matt kind of respond back with the way he wanted to frame the luxury tax question, which we've talked about all winter. And it's obvious, it's clear as day that they avoided it, because they added a lot of players to all very minuscule deals so they could stay under with 71 guys in camp. And he chose to use the word guide, not barrier, the way it was framed in the question. What did you make of that? And do you think that the Phillies here really did treat it as a guide, or the way you feel, was it a barrier for them this winter?
I think there's no denying when you look at the roster, there's 40 pitchers in camp. You know, it's the most, they had 30 pitchers last year. So I'm going to guess 40 pitchers is probably a franchise record for a spring training roster. And most of those guys, the new additions, are non-roster invitee veterans that are on their last leg, or their prospects that they're trying to see if they can come to the majors this year. It's a roster constructed to keep costs down, and because of how close they are to the competitive balance tax. And the general manager of a baseball team can't say it was a barrier, because then you're admitting that you're treating it as a hard cap, which, you know, you're not allowed to do, because that's not what it is. So it's almost the same way he would answer a Spencer Howard question in the off season about how he might be up sometime this season. He can't say he's going to be up in May, because then that's obviously that you're playing games with his arbitration. So I think it was definitely a barrier to what they wanted to do this offseason. This is not, if there was no competitive balance tax, the Phillies would not have this kind of roster in spring training, but there is. And this is the way that they played it, because they, like many other teams in baseball, refused to go over it.
Yeah, I mean, it's an epidemic around baseball. I mean, most teams don't, and if they're over, they want to get under. Matt Breen joining us here, the Inquirer, Clearwater check-in as spring training really gets going. And, Matt, I feel like a lot of the talk down there right now is updates on injuries and how quickly guys are going to get up to speed here. But specifically, some pitchers. I mean, the bullpen, I heard Matt this morning kind of saying they had two guys that pitched really well and got through the full season, Hector Neris and Jose Alvarez. Everyone else is either coming off of major injury or had their season kind of ruined or changed by injury last year. So that's the bullpen. And then obviously in the rotation, you know, the constant question of, can Jake Arrieta be healthy? Can he be effective? Is he just average now at best? Like, they have a lot of pitching question marks, but I feel like health clouds almost all of them.
Yeah, it really does. And the bullpen's a huge question mark. But I think there's so many arms in the bullpen that odds are you can make it work. Like, they made it work in the second half of last season with almost a similar patchwork type of setup that they have right now. So I think if you have enough resources in the bullpen, you can figure out a way. But the starting rotation, it won't even matter if it's in the bullpen if the starting rotation falls apart. And Jake Arrieta, they don't need Jake Arrieta to be Chicago Cubs Jake Arrieta. You need him to be league average Jake Arrieta. Like, forget that he's making Garrett Cole money, that he's making $25 million. That you're not going to get a $25 million pitcher. You just need someone that stabilizes, has a 4.0 ERA in, you know, as your third starter, because your fourth and fifth are really huge, even bigger question marks. Zach Eflin looked really good for the last seven starts of last season, so you hope that he is able to be a stable number four. And then at five, it sounds like Nick Pivetta is going to win the five just because of the way he's been talked about. And we saw how him and Vince Velasquez both pitched last year. So, and then when you go past that, if you go six, seven, and eight, who those guys are, you know, you're talking about Cole Irvin and Ranger Suarez and an even bigger question mark. So it's really, after one and two, it's just a bevy of question marks in the starting rotation, where it makes the bullpen such secondary, because if you can't start the game, then who the heck cares who's coming in the seventh, eighth, and ninth?
Matt, what's been the word and the feeling on McCutchen? I know Joe spoke the other day that they're probably going to try to take it slow with him. And I saw a piece a couple weeks ago, I think in the Inquirer, about where he's at and kind of coming back. And he hasn't been totally cleared yet, but everything is you know, really probably on schedule. There's no beating around. Like, they didn't replace him last year. They couldn't replace him. His skill set was just something that no matter who Gabe seemed to try in the leadoff spot, it didn't work. It wasn't Andrew McCutchen. And I'd argue that of all the guys in this team, having him healthy for close to a full year and just getting on base, like that, that's something that if they don't have it, I don't know how they recover. They really need McCutchen to come back and kind of look like he did before he got hurt last year. What's been the latest on him?
They do, and the latest is not much. He is in camp. He doesn't have to be in camp till this weekend, but he got here the other day. So he came early, has worked out, has taken DP, doing just about, you know, everything you could kind of see a guy do. But I don't think he's going to play like a spring training game for a while. Once games start next week, they're going to take it slow with him. He wants to take it slow, but he's confident he'll be ready for opening day. And really, at the end of the day, guy that's been in the league for a decade, that's all that really matters, is that he's ready for opening day. And I think he will be. And it's of all the things that went wrong last year, that was seemed like to be the start of it, was his injury. And then everything else kind of fell apart after that. And it was impossible to find another leadoff hitter. And it, I wouldn't even want to know what would happen this season if they lost him again, because they haven't found a second guy to replace him this year, just like they couldn't last year. So it would be a repeat of 2019.
It totally would be. It's almost like the Phillies version of DeSean Jackson. Like they couldn't find that guy. They could get open down the field. So it's irreplaceable skill set. Matt, speaking of things that went wrong last year, Klentak kind of alluded to that again today, that they, you know, because I think the question was about the projection systems and 77 for Pecota and kind of figuring out what is this team and how good they could be. And Klentak alluded to the idea, look, they had a lot of bad luck last year. And he's not wrong on that. But it feels like the feeling I get listening to Matt say these things is I get the feeling that he still believes he built a pretty good team last year, one that could have had a far better year if things went their way. And that's part of the reason they didn't do that much this offseason. They changed the manager, which obviously Klentak didn't really want to do. And they add Wheeler and Gregorius. But it wasn't like they overhauled, you know, five or six or seven spots. My contention is I think deep down Klentak thinks he built a pretty good nucleus last year. It didn't work out, but they kind of want to run it back this year just with a few changes.
Yeah, and really this goes back to the tax that you don't really have many more choices. Once you got done signing Didi and Zach Wheeler, you know, you're pretty much out of money. So your only option was to run it back. And to be fair, if we took this conversation back to last March, I think we all thought that this was a pretty decent team. It was a playoff team. It wasn't an 81-win team. And they had a ton of injuries. They had almost an entire bullpen on the injured list. Obviously, their leadoff hitter, like we said. But I think the big change this offseason is a manager. And they have a new manager, a new pitching coach, a new hitting coach. And I think that could be a big difference. That it might not be enough to take an 81-win team to 90 wins. But I think that's could be good enough to get you into the mid-80s. And then if you have a healthy McCutchen, you have a stable bullpen and a stable rotation, which, like we talked earlier, is far from guaranteed. Maybe that's enough to put you in the playoffs. So you can talk yourself, especially in spring training, it's the easiest time to talk yourself into these things, that this team's a playoff team. But I just think they had so many things go wrong last year, but I think they need so many things this year to go right to get to the playoffs that I can't see it happen.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat right now. Better team and improved team, but you know, it's not just the division, and Klentak also hit on this this morning. Like the National League, Matt, it's really good, and I think Klentak, of all the things he said today, was the one I was totally in agreement with. That you look around the National League, the Marlins will be a little bit improved, though not a contender. The Pirates look like they're, you know, terrible and just kind of a waste of a season for them. Probably the Giants are a couple years off, and the Rockies. But other than those four teams, Matt, it feels like the other 11 in the NL are all at least decent, are all at least trying to make the playoffs and going for it. So, like, there could be a bunch of teams just like the Phillies. And I unfortunately, I don't think they've separated themselves. That's part of it, too. Like, yeah, the Braves are good in the NL East, but they might be competing with nine teams for a wild card spot.
Yeah, and really, you're going to be competing with three other teams in the NL East for that wild card spot, because I don't see the Mets, the Braves or the Nationals fading, let alone the teams from the Central or the West that we're talking about. And it's just, you figure the Dodgers win the West, so that gives you an NL West team that's automatically going to be compete for the wild card. It's just going to be a crowded race. And then that, the thing is, like, we'll pay the tax at the deadline. Well, you're not going to be the only team one add at the deadline if the NL East is this, I mean, the NL as a whole is this competitive. So the prices are just going to go up even more for a prospect, I mean, for a addition at the trade deadline. So I really thought if you're going to pay the tax, the time to pay the tax was in the off season, but you know, they obviously did not agree with my outlook. And I think that's, we had this conversation in September. I think it's going to come down to, that was the big mistake that they did not, for the second straight year, they did not address the starting rotation the way they should have.
Yeah.
And that's just how I see this thing playing out.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it certainly could be. And I know we'll be screaming about it here if that's the way it plays out. Last one for you, Matt. Rhys Hoskins, I saw the video yesterday of his new stance, a little bit more open, but the hands way down from where they were a year ago, kind of shades of Edwin Encarnacion, maybe Chris Davis from the A's, like guys like that. Justin Turner, I saw a little bit when I watched it. We'll see if it, you know, it changes a lot. But, you know, we talk about X factors for this team. You just look at his two halves last year. I mean, it's unbelievable. I still can't believe how bad he was in the second half. 180 is a poor batting average, but it felt even worse than that watching it day to day. And really, they need him to hit in the middle of the order. Like they haven't changed that status quo. No matter how Girardi wants to line up his order, at some spot, Rhys Hoskins is going to be in a very important spot. Point of the order, and frankly, I don't know what to expect out of him, you know, heading into this year of his career.
Yeah, as important as McCutchen is at the top, Hoskins is just as important in the middle of Harper and Realmuto, you know, hitting in the heart of the order. And as bad as he was last year, it's at least promising that he spent his offseason digging into his own tape and reworking his stance and talking to a new hitting coach and looking for answers. At least it's not a guy that's going to just, we're talking about just running it back. He's not just going to, you know, try to run back what happened last year and just see if he gets different outcomes. He's at least worked and came to camp with an idea, with a plan. And who knows? A lot of guys come into spring training with different stances and different approaches at the plate. But it's a storyline all the time at this year, time of year. But we'll find out what it looks like for real when games start, and then especially once the season starts, to see if he's the Rhys Hoskins that he showed in the first half of last year and at times in 17 and 18.
We will. Matt Breen of the Inquirer down in Clearwater. Matt, I appreciate you hopping on. I'll be reading, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Joe. Take
there
care.
There he goes. Matt Breen of The Inquirer joining us there on Clearwater. Check it out. All right, a couple things I want to play for you here, and then we will get back to all the conversation. So, mentioned Rhys Hoskins. Howard Eskin actually had him today talking in the clubhouse about that new stance. What's the difference? Why do it? Here's Rhys Hoskins on his new batting look.
Swing, no. There's a little bit of a change within the setup, and that's really it. It's simple things that take a while for them to become second nature. But that's what I'm after right now.
Have you noticed in any video things that you did last year that you've got to fix going into this season?
Yeah, I think so. I think it just came down to me wanting to be more consistent, you know, being able to be more repeatable, and I think that is a pretty good indication of something that will allow me to have long-term success.
Interesting there, the Rhys explaining why he went with the new batting stance. We'll see if he keeps it and how it works from in spring training. The other thing, we referenced this a little bit with Matt Breen here. Listen to Klentak today when the idea of Chris Bryant was broached. I think it's just really notable the way he's open to answering this question. Here's Matt Klentak.
You've heard me say some version of this before, Todd. A lot of you have. You know, we have a responsibility to the organization, to our ownership, to our fans, to explore trades when we can add meaningful talent to our organization. You know, some of the guys that you're referring to would certainly qualify as that. So you can be sure that when a player from another club is perceived to be available, that the Phillies have checked in on that player. In some cases, have exchanged offers with that team, both, you know, made offers, received counter offers, etc. And that we've looked into it. And again, I'm not going to say specifically that that's about one player or another player, but our responsibility is to explore that. And we try to keep the specifics of that under wraps, and we generally do a pretty good job of that. But you can be sure that when good players are available, the Phillies are checking and exploring the possibility.
Well, Chris Bryant's a really good player, so I expect the Phillies to be checking in on all of those possibilities. Look, I really think the Phillies want to try to make this happen, and I think they have a line, as they should, and I wouldn't give up Spencer Howard and Scott Kingery. I'd give up Alec Boehm, and if that could get it done, I said to Matt Breen a few minutes ago, I'd give it about a 10% chance of happening. And we've talked a lot about it being a very tepid excitement level for the start of spring training. That would change in a major way quickly if Chris Bryant walked through that door. 888-729-9494, #9494. That is how you hop in. We'll come back. Your phone calls. And I have to send a thank you to the person who sent this show a thank you, a handwritten letter. Very important stuff coming up on the other side.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.